is the Albert Mohler Program, your place for intelligent Christian conversation about the issues that matter. To get online, call toll-free nationwide, 1-877-893-TALK. That's 1-877-893-8255. Sitting in for Dr. Mohler today, Russell Moore. Dr. Moore is Dean of the School of Theology at the Southern Baptist Theological Seminary and Director of the Carl Henry Institute for Evangelical Engagement. Now, here's your host for today, Dr. Russell Moore.
Hey, are you a racist? Is your church a racist church? Is this a racist country? Several items in the news today about the issue of race, and I want to talk to you about where are we as evangelical Christians on the race issue. The United States Supreme Court has spoken, as of today, on the issue of desegregation and diversity in public schools. Question is, though, how are we doing as churches when it comes to seeing racial reconciliation in our midst? And I'd like to hear from you. Give me a call, 877-893-8255, 877-893-TALK, and let me know what you think our churches can do to see to it that we're the places, we're the churches, we're the congregations where race doesn't matter. Race is transcended by the gospel of Jesus Christ. Maybe you're in a congregation that you say, in our congregation, we're really doing this well. The Lord seems to be working in such a way that you really see this kind of reconciliation in our church, in Ephesians 2, Ephesians 3 kind of reconciliation. Maybe you're saying, you know what? I just don't know how we're going to achieve that. I don't know how black people and white people and Hispanic people are going to be able to really get together in churches. And is it really even that big of a deal? Do you really think that our churches ought to be concerned about making sure that there is diversity within the congregation, that you really have a kind of kingdom preview of every tongue, tribe, nation, and language? Or should we say, no, we ought not to have racial bias, we ought not to have racial hatred, but if you've got a white church, you've got a white church. If you've got an African-American church, you've got an African-American church, so be it. What's your thought on this? Give me a call, 877-893-8255, 877-893-TALK. The schools are trying to decide how to figure out diversity issues. Tonight, the presidential candidates on the Democratic side are talking about racial issues. But what about the church? Join the conversation at 877-893-8255, 877-893-TALK. This is Russell Moore sitting in for Albert Mohler, who is on a much-needed vacation, and I hope he is enjoying himself so far as the vacation begins. In the news today, immigration bill has gone down in flames. President Bush, who had been pushing very hard with some Republican and Democratic leaders for a very, very controversial immigration bill. If you've been listening to talk radio at all, you know that tensions have been very high on this issue. There have been arguments breaking out all over the country over this very emotional issue of how do you take possibly 12 million people in the United States of America and either move them towards citizenship, as some have called this an amnesty bill, or not. Say we're going to respect the rule of law, we're going to make sure that our borders are enforced, and we're going to make sure that there's a fair and just system. That debate has been going on for some time, but as of today, the Senate has voted effectively just to block this bill, and it is now dead. That has led to President Bush making the following statement.
I'm sorry the Senate was unable to reach agreement on the bill this morning. Legal immigration is one of the top concerns of the American people, and Congress's failure to act on it is a disappointment. American people understand the status quo is unacceptable when it comes to our immigration laws. A lot of us worked hard to see if we couldn't find common ground. It didn't work.
It didn't work. You can hear the disappointment in President Bush's voice. He really had a lot invested in this bill. It had a lot to do with his domestic legacy, as many have speculated. It's now gone. And he's not the only one who's disappointed. Senator Lindsey Graham, Republican from South Carolina, spoke to this issue as he stood up in the well of the Senate and spoke to his fellow Republican senators. Let's listen to what he has to say.
To my Republican friends, remember this day if you vote no. You will never, ever have this deal again. There will never be a merit-based immigration system like we've negotiated because President Bush has helped us.
And Senator Ted Kennedy, who was, along with John McCain, one of the primary movers of this legislation, also spoke to the issue on the Senate floor.
Year after year, we've had the broken borders. Year after year, we have the exploitations of workers. Year after year, we see the people that live in fear within our own borders of the United States for America. This is the opportunity to change it. Now is the time.
And apparently now is not the time. So the question is, what's next for immigration reform? Will we simply have the status quo from now on, or will there be some reconstituted efforts to address immigration from one side or the other? All I know is it's hard to see how we're going to get any kind of consensus on this issue anytime soon, since the emotions are so raw on this issue, and rightly so. This is an important issue that really cuts to what's really important about what it means to make up a country, what it means to make up a nation. And a lot of times you have people, even on the same side of the political spectrum, who are at complete odds with one another for all different kinds of reasons. So we'll see what happens as the immigration debate goes forward or just falls to the side and lays there. The American Medical Association on Wednesday backed off, saying that video game playing can be a formal psychiatric addiction. You remember Dr. Moeller dealt with this issue of video game playing not long ago. American Medical Association said, you know, we need more research before we're able to say that this is an actual psychiatric illness, that this is an actual addiction. Instead, they adopted a measure that says that overuse of video games and online games can be a problem for children and adults, but they're not willing to say addiction. So there will probably be many more studies on the issue of video games. Doesn't mean it's any less disturbing when some of us look around and see people in our neighborhoods, especially teenage boys, sitting in front of these computer games for hours and hours and hours on end. We have this Leapster game that someone gave to my boys, and I noticed that if I let him, one of my boys would just sit at this Leapster and almost just become absorbed, and even though I would only let him play with it for a half hour at a time, I finally said, put the thing away. This is disturbing to see what it's doing to him, and yet you have probably right up and down my block in my neighborhood kids who are sitting there with their hands on video games, with their eyes glued to screens for hours, sometimes way into the night. That's got to be addressed as a parenting issue. I'm not sure as a psychiatric issue. In the United Kingdom, number of marriages in England and Wales down to the lowest level on record. 10% fall in the past 3 years, the number of people who are married. In London, the decrease was by 35%. 35% less people getting married in the United Kingdom. And Scooter Libby has now become federal inmate number 28301-016. He's been assigned an inmate number, and it looks like is headed for prison. Not receiving quite the attention that Paris Hilton has received with her time in jail, but the issues are probably much more important. Also in USA Today today, there is a discussion about the fact that schools are playing down valedictorian. Graduation ceremonies all over the country are really softening the competition for valedictorian. And I think that really is a result of some of the legal fights you've had happening all across the country because of this egalitarian notion that you really shouldn't say that anybody is better than anybody else, that anybody is more academically prepared than anyone else. Of course, the Ann Coulter, Elizabeth Edwards fight that we talked about a little bit yesterday. Ann Coulter's fighting back today, saying, well, just like she predicted, the Edwards campaign is using that confrontation on MSNBC's Hardball in order to raise money. And Ann Coulter has written an op-ed in her syndicated column in which she says, you've got John Edwards trying to raise campaign cash and TV ratings off of her coattails. This thing will probably burn for the next several days until the next Ann Coulter controversy. And also, finally in the news, there are radio ads in Iowa today. Run, Al, run. Not Al Mohler, Al Gore. The Draft Gore Committee has this advertisement up.
Yoo-hoo.
Mr. Hello. Gore.
Hey, Al.
Excuse me, sir. Mr. Gore.
Hello.
Hey, Al. Mr. Vice President.
Mr. Gore, we need you for president.
We deserve a president we can respect.
We deserve a president we can respect. Who has experience.
And compassion.
Who is the most qualified.
Who is a proven leader.
Al Gore. Right on Iraq. Right on global warming. Right for the 21st century.
Join us at DraftGore.com and supporting Al Gore for the Democratic nomination for president.
Sign the petition at DraftGore.com.
Paid for by the committee to draft Gore. He won once. He can win again.
He won once, he could win again. Well, that's arguable and has been argued quite a bit. We come back, we're going to talk about racial reconciliation. Supreme Court has spoken to this, but has the scripture. What does race and racial reconciliation look like in your church? Give me a call, 877-893-8255. This is Russell Moore sitting in for Albert Mohler. This is the Albert Mohler Program.
Way back before all the damage was done. Now you're the number one favorite son. So run, Al, run.
Welcome back to the Albert Mohler Program. This is Russell Moore sitting in for Albert Mohler and moonwalking across the airwaves coast to coast today talking about, does it matter if you're black or white? Racial reconciliation. The Supreme Court has spoken to the issue when it comes to the issue of placing students in some integration plans in two major public school districts in the country. Supreme Court decision being handed down with a split vote, 5-4, Chief Justice John Roberts writing the majority opinion. And Chief Justice Roberts says the way to stop discrimination on the basis of race is to stop discriminating on the basis of race. So in other words, what Chief Justice Roberts is saying is that having this category of diversity does not compel school districts to take into account the various racial categories that ought to be represented within that school. He appealed to a Brown versus Board of Education ruling in the 1950s. Interestingly enough, the minority opinion from the four dissenting justices also appeals to Brown and to the civil rights movement, saying you have to take race into account if you're going to have schools in which you have students who are living in community and learning together with people of various races. Now, whatever you think of the Supreme Court decision, it shows us again that race is on the front burner of American life. Tonight, the Democratic candidates for President of the United States are meeting in a debate that will really be historic in one sense because, as PBS has announced, it is the first time that you're going to have a panel of journalists that are exclusively, as they put it, journalists of color. Tavis Smiley, Dwayne Wickham, and others who are going to be interviewing and speaking with and moderating the Democratic candidates specifically on issues of race and other things, but that's going to be a primary interest of concern tonight in that debate. What I want to talk to you about is how are we doing on the issue of race? And by we, I mean our churches, the evangelical Christian community. Do you think that we are ahead of the rest of the culture on this issue? Are we behind the rest of the culture on this issue? Should we in our churches really be even thinking about issues such as diversity? Should it bother you when you look out across your church and everybody there's black or everybody there's white? Should we really be moving toward congregations that are representative of all different kinds of people? Or should we say, you know, let's preach the gospel, let's have the life of the church, and we'll see who's there? Give me a call, 877-893-8255, 877-893-TALK. But before I take your calls, I have John McWhorter on the line, who is a senior fellow at the Manhattan Institute. He writes a regular column in the New York Sun, and he is a prolific writer. He has written such books as The Power of Babel, A Natural History of Language. He's written a really, really good book that I loved called Doing Our Own Thing, The Degradation of Language and Music in America and Why We Should Like Care. Best subtitle, I think, that has been written in the past 10 years, and has written a lot on these issues. John McWhorter, welcome to the Albert Mohler Program.
Thank you.
good to have you with us today. What do you make of the Supreme Court decision on integration?
Well, I think that we have gone from the days of Brown versus the Board of Education, where the reason that we didn't want black kids in all black schools was because of overt racism and Jim Crow and the fact that the schools were almost always horrible, and mm-hmm. so we wanted to mix kids. That was one thing. Now we've gone to the idea that it must automatically be a bad thing when black kids go to school with people who look like them. And that's not what was meant in Brown versus Board of Education. It was never proven in 1954 and has never been conclusively proven since that black kids learn better when there are white kids around. The point in 1954 was to get black kids out of lousy schools. But now the Supreme Court has finally put paid to the notion that there's something alarming about a school classroom full of black and brown kids. That oversimplifies the issue, and I think that it insults the black race and the Latino race in the process.
And how does it insult blacks and Latinos?
Because there seems to be an implication that although there are all sorts of things that, I'm speaking for black people since I'm black myself, there are all sorts of things that we can do together. If you put a bunch of black students into a classroom together, no learning must be going on. It means that it must be that the teachers are terrible. It must be that the black kids come from terrible homes and can't pay attention. It's really very degrading. Like I have taken some flack in my writing on race for saying that there is a problem with a certain sense among many black people that to be really, really nerdy is a white thing. And this is kind of bearing that out because I think that there's a quiet sense among many people, and you know, as many of them black as white, that somehow blacks and school don't go together. So if you've got black kids, I guess unless they're like Cosby kids, unless they're like middle-class kids, if you've got normal black kids, then if there aren't, you know, at least 50% white kids in the classroom, then we've got a problem, and it's called segregation. But it's interesting. No one would say that about a school full of Chinese kids. No one would say it about a school full of Jewish kids. Only seems to come up with brown people, and I think there are reasons.
Well, John, wouldn't you say, though, that there's an argument that part of the educational process is learning to get along with people different from oneself, so that there really is an educational benefit to taking a kid who's grown up in an all-white suburb to actually be in a room learning to get along with African-Americans and Latinos and others?
Yeah, it's nice. You know, people getting together can be a good thing, can be healthy for all concerned. But not when it winds up meaning that people are being denied their place in a school 10 minutes away and have to be bused 2 hours away, et cetera. The issue is, which is the greater harm?
Mm-hmm.
And school is certainly an area where people will mix. But to tell you the truth, with a lot of people, mixing will also happen after school. It'll happen at work. If it's not happening at school, it may be happening in other parts of their lives. It's a matter of what you make a priority. And as interesting as it can be, white kids and black kids interacting. The fact is that often, especially in the teen years, there's a lot of friction because of that, and it's also beautiful to go to a black school, of which there are many, and see that all brown student bodies can actually do very well if the right elements are in place.
When you think about this issue of race, are we a racist nation? Is the United States of America really still holding on to some racist baggage?
Yeah, it's interesting what that word racism means. Are there individual racist people? Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So we definitely have them. There's a difference between that and saying that the nation is racist. Are there some problems that black people have more than others because of the way society happens to operate? Well, yeah, there are those things. Now, I say calling that institutional racism is a little peculiar. It could be called many other things. But no, I don't think America is any longer a racist society.
Well, very quickly, in our closing seconds here, how do you think the evangelical Christian churches are doing on this issue?
Well, it can cut either way. Congregations where you've got people of all colors worshiping together are nice. We'll see them more in the future. But there's also something to having a very warm in-group cultural experience. Sometimes a little segregation can be a good thing.
All right. John McWhorter says sometimes a little segregation can be a good thing. Do you agree with him? Give me a call at 877-893-8255. What should we be doing to see racial reconciliation and kingdom diversity in our churches? Or not? 877-893-TALK. This is Russell Moore sitting in for Albert Mohler and the See Albert Mohler program. Welcome back to the Albert Mohler Program. This is Russell Moore sitting in for Albert Mohler. Will it take more than love to keep us together, especially when you have a racially divided, in many cases, United States of America, even just given the reactions today all across the country, very different reactions to the Supreme Court decision today rejecting integration plans in two major public school districts here in Louisville, where I'm broadcasting from right now, and in Seattle, Washington, saying at least four of the five on the majority opinion here saying that diversity really shouldn't be the compelling factor in setting up who gets into a school and who doesn't. Now, there are all kinds of ways that we can evaluate the Supreme Court decision, and I'm not really as much interested in the Supreme Court decision as I am in the issue of diversity. That question, specifically as it relates to our churches, does it matter if we have diversity in our churches? I mean, we know that ultimately in the kingdom, you have represented every tribe, tongue, nation, and language. Does it matter if your church evidences that kind of diversity? And if so, what should we do to get there, and how are we doing as evangelical Christians? Give me a call, 877-893-8255, 877-893-TALK, and let me know what you think. John McWhorter, Manhattan Institute fellow, on the telephone a few minutes ago, said, you know what, it doesn't really matter. In a local congregation, it might be nice if you've got people of different races, but sometimes segregation is a pretty good thing, too. Do you agree with him? 877-893-8255. And I have on the line one of my heroes in the faith in many ways, Pastor Eric Redmond, who is the pastor of Hillcrest Baptist Church in Temple Hills, Maryland. He is the newly elected second vice president of my denomination, the Southern Baptist Convention. And he also is a blogger, writes at ericredmond.wordpress.com. Pastor Redmond, welcome to the Albert Mohler Program.
It's good to be here today.
What do you think about the issue of race when it comes to our churches? Do you think that most churches have a biblical understanding of racial reconciliation?
Well, I think if we're talking about a biblical understanding, one of the things we need to consider is that the New Testament churches originally were really house or neighborhood churches. There was no idea of mall shopping for churches. If you don't like one church in this geographical region, I can travel 50 miles.
Mm-hmm.
As far as that relates to what we're doing in our churches, where people live in a neighborhood where there's a good gospel-preaching church, if it's a church that's representative of a different race, someone should still consider attending the church if the gospel is being preached. But where there's a majority clustered of people of one ethnicity in an area and a church is there, if the church shows no sign of being desegregated or being ethnically diverse, that would be understandable.
Mm-hmm. So what would you say to a church that says, when we've got all of these things that we ought to be worried about, how important should racial diversity be for us as we're planning out the future of our church and praying about what the Lord ought to do in the life of our church?
I don't think that any church should be closed to having people of different ethnicities be members of their churches. And praying toward that end so that churches can somehow reflect heaven would be a good idea.
Mm-hmm.
But again, we don't want to get into some sort of idea where we're paying members, if you would, from another ethnicity to come and join us just for the sake of diversity. We should ask the Lord to send people as he wills, and if people like being there, then we identify around the cross. But again, we need to look at churches in a different way. We're trying to affect neighborhoods, whether that's in suburbia or urban areas, and our churches should be reflective of where God has planted us.
Now, Eric, you are a nationally elected officer in a denomination. You're an African-American pastor, and you're elected to serve a denomination that was started by people defending slaveholding. So this is a major change in 150 years in this particular denomination.
Mm-hmm.
What kinds of things go on in churches that might unintentionally close doors to people of other races? I mean, I'm not talking about the Ku Klux Klan white supremacist church or the Afrocentric type of a church, but a church that might just unintentionally give a hint to people, you're not welcome here.
Well, again, and unintentional is a key word there. It can be as simple as we're not willing to consider diversity in music, or we don't have anyone on our multiple staff of pastors that's reflective of the racial diversity in the congregation. We still have one ethnicity. It could be that we never discuss racial issues, listening to the side of those who are racial minorities. All those things subtly say, well, maybe we're not really welcome here as the minority.
All right. Well, thank you, Eric Redmond. That's a good word for us today. I'd like to ask you, what do you think? 877-893-8255. How are our churches doing when it comes to racial reconciliation? Should we even be worried about this? And if so, how do we make sure that we're welcoming people of all races, tribes, tongues, nations, and languages to our churches? 877-893-8255. This is Russell Moore sitting in for Albert Mohler, and this is the Albert Mohler Program.
So I need you like a needle needs a vein, like my Uncle Joe in Oklahoma needs a rain. And I need you like a lighthouse on the coast, like the Father and the Son need the Holy Ghost. I need you.
All right, I love country music and I love Trinitarianism, but this country music Trinitarianism is pretty bad. This is Russell Moore sitting in for Albert Mohler. This is the Albert Mohler Program. My friend Robbie Sagers, who ordinarily will recommend some pretty good songs, recommended this new Tim McGraw song. And, you know, it's one of those songs where you just think somebody's sitting there trying to think of words to rhyme. What rhymes with rain? Vain. What rhymes with most? Holy Ghost. Well, the point of it is we need each other. The question is, how much do we need each other when it comes to racial reconciliation? United States Supreme Court says today that diversity is not to be a compelling issue when it comes to deciding who gets into what school. Tonight, the Democratic presidential candidates are speaking before a group of all African-American journalists speaking on PBS about, among other things, the issue of race in America. My question to you is, what about in our churches? We know that racism is wrong and unbiblical. We know that white supremacy is contrary to the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ and any kind of racial bigotry. It's from one blood, one man, that God made all people, the Apostle Paul tells us in Acts 17, repeating what we already know from Genesis. But what about in our churches? Pastor Eric Redmond said something very interesting. He said there are ways in which very subtly our churches can say, you're not welcome here. And he gave a whole list of ways in which that can happen, from the kinds of music that we will allow and not allow in our churches to the makeup of church staff. So all kinds of issues like this that can subtly say to people of a different race, and this could happen in any kind of a church, any kind of racially made up church, you're not really welcome here. What do you think about this? How do you think our churches are doing when it comes to racial diversity, racial reconciliation? Should we even worry about this? When you think of all of the tasks before the church, of preaching the gospel, of evangelizing the lost, of discipling believers, of strengthening families, how important should racial diversity be? Give me a call, 877-893-8255, 877-893-TALK. And what can churches do to get to the place you think we ought to be when it comes to the issue of race? 877-893-TALK. We have Sandra on the line calling from Tampa, Florida, listening on WTBN, and she has been waiting a long time. Sandra, I appreciate your stick-to-itiveness on this. Welcome to the Albert Mohler Program.
Hi.
What's your thought today?
First of all, I'd like to thank you for having me on and to share my views concerning the topic of today.
Well, I'm very glad to. What do you think?
I think that, racism is alive and well in the church. I'm sorry to say that.
How do you see it? Where do you see it?
I have no experience.
What does it look like in the life of a church?
There are those who greet you when you go. I go to a Presbyterian church.
Mm-hmm.
As a matter of fact, I was an elder in my former church and represented that church at the General Assembly in Scotland. And I am what you would call a black person. But when I moved to this city, Tampa, and I attend another Presbyterian church, they greet the white folks with a kiss and a hug.
Mm-hmm.
And there are only two members in that entire church that greet me with a kiss and a hug. Two. members, you know. I'm one of three blacks. Everybody else are white. But I don't go there because of the race issue. I go there because the minister is very dynamic, and he is a very, very tried and proven man of God.
Well, what would you say, Sandra, to a minister in a local church anywhere who says, okay, I've got that problem in my church? What would you say to him? What would your advice be as to how to fix it?
I would say to him, follow the Word of God. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God. And the only two people I know of that started the human race was Adam and Eve.
Mm-hmm.
God did not give any description of their race or their color or anything. But my opinion is it has to start with the government. When you can go to a country and you have to complete an application form that asks whether you're black, Hispanic, from Spain or wherever,
mm-hmm.
or you're African-American or whatever
mm-hmm.
race you are, that is discrimination at the top. I feel that the only application or the only time somebody's color should go on the application is if they're dead. You have to
okay.
be able to tell how many black folks die and how many white folks die. But living people should not have to be discriminated against because of an application for job or anything else.
All right. Well, thanks, Sandra, for that word. I think the issue might be a little more complicated than what Sandra is saying. What do you think? Give me a call, 877-893-8255, 877-893-TALK. How are our churches doing when it comes to the issue of racial reconciliation, and what can we be doing better? I think that, yeah, maybe there are some churches out there in which you have people consciously saying, oh, I'm only going to kiss white folks. But I think the more prevalent problem is that you have churches in which there's a complete unconsciousness that this type of behavior is taking place, that these signals of a lack of welcome are taking place. How can pastors and church leaders address this issue? How can they kind of shake people to say, think about people who are not just like you? And what would that look like in a local church? How would a church do that in a way that is faithful to the Scripture and can actually address the conscience and bring about some change? Give me a call, 877-893-8255, and we have Yvonne on the line. Yvonne, welcome to the Albert Mueller Program.
Thank you so much for having me.
Glad to. What's your thought on this?
I do also feel like the evangelical church as a whole does have a strong role to help with the acceptance of diversity and no longer seeing people of different races as the other.
How do you think we're doing on that?
I think, it is isolated. I live in Louisville, Kentucky, and it's a very, it's a southern town, and sometimes you do have those very same symptoms of not feeling welcomed, whether it's music or prayer, how we describe other races as the other, the ones that need help, instead of the ones that are our brothers and sisters working along with us.
All right, what do you think? How can the church do better at racial reconciliation? 877-893-8255. This is Russell Moore sitting in for Albert Mueller, and this is the Albert Mueller Program. Living together in perfect harmony, do we have racial tension in our churches, conservative, Bible-believing churches? The United States Supreme Court says today, diversity is not to be a reason or an excuse for social engineering when it comes to having schools in which you say you're getting into the school on the basis of whether or not you're black or white. Supreme Court's decided that. That's going to be an important issue for social policy in the United States of America. But I think a bigger issue, what about our churches? How are we doing, and how big of an issue ought race to be in our churches? Very quickly, we have Lee calling from North Platte, Nebraska. Lee, what do you think about this issue?
I really don't think it's a big issue in the Christian churches. today. I mean, everybody has their individual choices on music and things like that.
So you think you just go to the church that has the music you like?
No, I'll go to any church because I'm interested in the relationship with God.
All right. Okay. Lee says he doesn't think race is an issue at all. Now, I think this is a big issue. I don't think that we ought to have some type of an affirmative action policy in a particular local church. Well, let's make sure that we have one-third Latino, one-third African-American, one-third white population within a church. But I do think that Eric Redmond is right, that we ought to make sure that in our churches we are made up of people who are bought by the blood of Christ, who are called out by the Holy Spirit, and our commonality is found in Christ, not in the fact that we're all similar to one another. And I think that can you can wind up, if you ignore that, if you ignore what the Apostle Paul is teaching in Ephesians 2 and Ephesians 3, that we have an identity in Christ, Colossians 2 and 3, that our identity is not slave or free or Jew or Greek, it is Jesus Christ. If we forget that, then you're going to wind up with churches that are the same, not just in terms of race, but in terms of class, in terms of economic status, in terms of every other indicator, and that's a problem. It's a problem not because we're not celebrating diversity. It's a problem because we're not seeing the main thing, which is Jesus Christ. So if in a particular local congregation you say, we're not going to listen to anyone who's not like we are when it comes to music, when it comes to worship, when it comes to any of these concerns, that's not just a diversity issue. It really is a gospel issue at root level, and it's something for us to be thinking about and praying about and preaching about. This is Russell Moore, sitting in for Albert Mohler. We'll be back tomorrow to put truth on the line and deal with the issues that matter. This is the Albert Mohler Program.
Thanks for listening, and be sure to visit our website, www.albertmohler.com. You'll find archives of past shows and other important resources. You can also email your questions and comments. That's www.albertmohler.com. Be sure to join us next time for the Albert Mohler Program, your place for intelligent Christian conversation about the issues that matter.